right, folks. Well, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune. It's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. I've got the best job in the world because I get to hang out here with my poker friends every Monday night and talk poker with you and them. My name's Jim Reed. I'm Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter and Threads. But I am just one of the folks that make the magic happen over here at Rec Poker. You get used to hearing my voice because they give me the mic on Mondays, but it takes a crew to do what we do over here. And so if you want to head over to rec.poker/crew, you can learn more about all the different members of the Wrecking Crew, myself included, but you can just listen up because you're going to hear from a few of them tonight, starting with interim producing co-host John Somsky.
I am John Somsky, also known as Poker Geek MN everywhere.
I am Joe Coolis, known on Twitter at Joe Cool PhD, cool with a K, or Elvita 11 in the home game.
I'm Kim Kilroy. I'm known as PetVet or PetVet 33 on most platforms, Fergie 56 in the home game.
All right. Well, thanks, gang. If you don't know what Rec Poker is all about, we're at a very enthusiastic group of recreational poker players. We hang out together. We study together. We travel around the world and play poker together. We celebrate together. We commiserate together. We do a lot of things about our love of poker. And most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization. So I have to thank our friends at Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino, because without their support, we would not be able to do what we do here. And so we're very appreciative of that. We've also picked up a couple new premium members since we last talked. I am so close to being caught up on my emails. I sent out a bunch of emails today to folks that had claimed some, that had earned some prizes in the last little while. So hopefully we'll have more to report on that coming soon. But I wanted to thank Joe and Kim and John for joining me here tonight. And of course, all of you for listening and for typing in the YouTube chat. So we're going to be doing an interview today with Maureen Blucklinger, who is a very popular poker promoter, player. She used to be a dealer, and she was a guest of Kim Kilroy's Poker Empowerment series that was being recorded last year. We've been sharing some of these interviews with our listeners over the course of the podcast for the last little while. Which I think is just a great way to feature what Kim's been doing in that area and the great cause of making the poker world a more inclusive and welcoming place for all, but for particularly for women. So that interview is going to be coming up soon. We'll talk about some home game results. Of course, we're going to give away our food bank prize. And I just want to remind our listeners that you may not know it, you may not think it, but, you know, food insecurity is something that affects a lot of people around the world, maybe even in your own city or town, maybe even in your own neighborhood or community. And an easy way to help with that problem is to just Google food banks near me on your smartphone, and you'll find some locations in your area that could use your support, whether it's a few dollars, a few hours of your time, or some non-perishable food items. We really encourage our folks to check that out. And we're going to have some new promotions coming up soon. I'll just tease it there. We're going to be giving away some donations to some food banks. We might be having a charity tournament of some kind to support some local food banks. I think the more Rec Poker road trips that we take, maybe we can hook up with some local food banks there as well. It's a cause that's near and dear to a lot of our hearts. And so we love to spread the word and support that cause. So I think we'll just start by throwing to the interview with Maureen and our team of post-production wizards, Roger Schutte and Renz Isidro, can make all the magic happen. And you, the YouTube watchers, feel free to start typing the words food bank into the chat here, and we'll raffle off a prize pretty soon when we come on back here. So enjoy the interview.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our early edition of the empowerment group meeting. We welcome today a friend of mine, Maureen Blucklinger.
Exactly.
I got it. She's a poker player. She's a former poker dealer, and she's a poker promoter. She's based in Zurich, Switzerland. She's also a member of Rec Poker, so we're really happy to have her here today. She is an advocate for women in poker and introduced the first Swiss Ladies Championship in Switzerland and other also more international initiatives, and runs the Globetrotting Poker Ladies Facebook page. And that focuses on travel, I think, for women, but we'll get you to tell us about that outside of the United States for happenings out there. She's also, since 2020, a core team member of the Herdstammen?
Yeah, Herdstammen.
Yeah, club. And you're going to tell us a little bit about that. And according to Maureen, she likes to fly around the world and collect hen and mob country flags. So welcome, Maureen. It's nice to have you here. Tell us a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you first got into poker and how your poker journey has been to get you where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So I'm based here in Switzerland, and we don't have any kids. So we have a lot of free time at nights and at the weekends. So we decided to, you know, go to the casinos here, because casinos in Europe are a little bit different of an experience compared to casino visits in the US. And one night we went, we were playing some roulette. And then in the back room, I was like, oh, look, it's like poker. You know, I kind of know that game from, you know, back at home and, you know, through my grandparents. And then, you know, I was kind of peeking in, and the tournament director came over and he's like, oh, can I help you? And he was like really nice and telling me all about the game. And I'm like, well, what are you guys doing? You know, how much does it cost? How can I play? So he was really helpful. And I decided to go back a couple of days later to play in the Monday night tournament. And from that night, I was basically hooked. So then, you know, playing poker at Casino Baden became a thing. And then I started playing at different poker clubs in Switzerland. Then I also found out that, oh, you know, in Switzerland, there's not many ladies who play. So at the casino, I was like one of the 100 players there. Sometimes a few other ladies would come like with their husbands. So then I was talking to my husband, like, there has to be like, you know, other poker events out there. And that's how I came upon like these ladies events from the EPT. And actually that's how I met Elizabeth. So I went to the EPT Malta specifically to play the EPT ladies event. And that's where I met Elizabeth. Also, I believe June was there too that year. And I met so many ladies, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like what I want to do. And, you know, I love poker. These ladies love poker. And then I just started studying more and playing more.
And where's your game today? Like, do you play a lot today? Do you still, I mean, COVID has certainly put a damper on the travel and poker. So
yeah, exactly. So traveling for poker was very hard during Corona. And living here in Switzerland, we were going through some regulatory changes during Corona. So until September 2020, we didn't have an official online site back in Switzerland. So the first part of Corona, I really didn't have anything to play for real money. And then I also found Rec Poker. So they had this awesome home game. So I was really happy that I could play in the PokerStars home game with Rec Poker. And then also our local poker club here in Switzerland, Prestige Poker, we would run nightly games in the PokerStars home game clubs. So then finally, we got our first real money site back in Switzerland, September 2020, iPoker. So, And just about a month and a half ago, we got PokerStars back, real money. So I really also enjoy playing the Women's Sunday on PokerStars, the $22 game. PokerStars also supports women in poker, and there's so much value. You know, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I kind of am losing track of time since I was at King's playing live, but they add like $800 or $900 to the prize pool to give women the chance to play in the WCUPE or other special series with a larger buy-in, or have like the $215 online tickets added. So I really like playing that game too.
Oh, that's good. That's great. And let me take you back to that first TD that helped you and was so helpful. And so if he hadn't been, do you think you'd still be where you are?
Probably not, I would have to say. Because then, you know, if someone wasn't there to answer my questions or tell me how things work, I think I would have been a little bit hesitant just seeing that room full of men playing poker and wondering, okay, am I allowed to be there? You know, will there be any issues, et cetera? So right. He was a great help. Yes.
Do you think that's one of the things that makes it hard for women to enter a poker room today? Still, they don't always have that welcoming TD there to encourage them. The TDs always seem so busy and so, you know, stressed out. And like, how do you think if everyone was like this first guy that you ran into, more women would be in the room?
I think it has a big part. And also remember, so here in Europe, you just can't walk into a casino. So there's always a front desk where you need to check in, show your ID, just to make sure you're old enough, right, to get into the casino. So even having information there and helpful employees there is a help. But also, you know, advertising, because a lot of advertising that we see, I would also have to say it's very focus on men, right? So I think also these ladies only events help as well, right? So then you see, okay, we're having, you see there's after work poker every night, but then all of a sudden you see, oh, it's after work poker with the prize for last woman standing. For me, I think that's also an incentive to give the message to women that, yes, you are welcome. Please come by. Please try it out. And again, like you mentioned, to have very helpful and knowledgeable staff on site is also a plus.
I know that the WPA has been talking about having a representative at different tournaments around the world to welcome women in and just show them how to get started and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, coronavirus put a damper on that and sort of a hold on that. But I think that's one of the things they want to see happen in the future. I don't know, as another podcast I listened to, you have had some experience playing in Macau.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I try to have to get my dates. So I played in Macau when the City of Dreams still had the Poker Stars themed room. So I was there a lot, like 2012, 2014. I loved it there. I mean, the action was great. The atmosphere is unlike anywhere else. And the City of Dreams room is crazy. You're upstairs and then you're connected to a food court. So you have many food options. And again, the staff there, top class, you know, they answer your questions. If they see you stopping, looking at the board, they come up, how can we help you? So maybe this is a key that I never thought of before. Like all the rooms I liked, they always had like the best staff, the most helpful staff, and always more welcoming than other casinos. But unfortunately now in Macau, they never reopened since COVID. So after the City of Dreams poker room closed in Macau, you could still play at the Venetian. It was under the branding Poker King Club. You also see that logo associated with the Triton poker tour. But to my knowledge, I always ask them, they still haven't reopened the poker room. So playing in Macau, unfortunately, you can't do at the moment. Hopefully they can bring back tournaments somewhere. I know they were working on it before COVID hit because I was living in Hong Kong and was playing with the Hong Kong Poker Players Association. But at the moment, unfortunately, it's not possible in Macau.
You were in Hong Kong before COVID hit?
I was there when COVID hit.
Oh, wow. So you were there living there?
Yes, and we had to leave. So we were on the second to last flight out of Hong Kong before they closed the border.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you were there just for poker? Is that what you were
there for? For my husband's job.
All right. And then all that great poker was a good side benefit then.
Yeah. So then having Hong Kong as the base, I was also very fortunate. I went with the Australian poker tour, APT, mm-hmm. To Sanya in China. So that's one of the largest poker tournaments in the world outside of the WSOP. And usually they don't really have foreigner groups. And in 2019, they invited the Australian poker tour and their players. And I went with them. So that was amazing. And a lot of the Macau players were there.
And that was a big tournament series.
Yes.
Did they have a ladies event? Did they have a women's event at that
series?
Yes,
they did. So I believe there was about 40 women who turned out. So again, a lot of those women, they were also, you know, trying to play in the satellites to the main event, et cetera. So there was more women than 40 at the festival, but due to scheduling, only 40 played in the ladies only event.
That's great. It says you're a core team member of the Herdstammen Club. Tell us what that is. I'm going to put a link in the chat if anyone wants to look at it.
Okay.
Be Stuart. but tell us about it.
Yeah, for now, just Stuart. So the Herdstammen Club, it's a club founded by Natalie Holf and Mila Monroe, and it's based in Germany. So they do have two different study calls. So the German call, which is every Wednesdays, and then the English call, which I run, which is every Thursdays. So we're a group of women, we're a community, we play a league, we have these study calls, we help each other study, we have pro guests come into the calls, really help us. And in August, we had our first festival. And going back to your original question, you know, about TDs being helpful, you know, having staff helpful on the ground. With our Herdstammen Festival, we did have Sandro at Grand Casino Osh in the Czech Republic. He was very supportive of our group. And 50% of the ladies who came with us never played live before. But because, you know, we had this environment, you know, we had the welcome party for the Herdstammen, you know, we had special events. Sunday morning, we had like a champagne brunch and a special Queens tournament. The ladies really wanted to come. And now I think most of them have the bug now to play more live poker.
Oh, I think I remember seeing a picture of that on Facebook. It looked like it was super fun. Like it looked like it was really good. So are you going to try to make this an annual event or even more than annual? And is it only open sort of for local women, or is it open to for women from other countries to come and visit and play and be part of?
Yeah. So according to the laws, we couldn't make it women only. So it was a festival open for everyone, but focusing on the women. And we actually had Felix Schneiders from Poker Stars and The Grind. He came with us. Some other famous German grinders came with us as well. And anyone could play. So even if you weren't a Herdstammen member, if you knew about the festival or were playing at Grand Casino Osh that weekend, you were welcome to play with us. We're hoping to make it a semi-annual event. And this time it was mainly only women from Germany, Switzerland, and Austria due to travel constraints, due to COVID restrictions in August. So we're hoping that the next one will be bigger and better because we're hoping the restrictions get even more relaxed.
Yeah, it sounds like something that could really grow. Like that it can only get bigger if our restrictions get more relaxed and travel sort of opens up and people become more comfortable traveling. You've been traveling a bit lately. You were recently at King's Casino.
Yes.
Right? In Rosmedal?
Yes.
Yeah. And how does it feel traveling? Like, and how is it still restricted? What rules are in place? Like, we know the WSOP is having a lot of rules this summer in place. Mm-hmm. What's it like to travel to King's Casino where you are?
Yeah, so King's Casino's in Czech Republic, so it's right on the German border. So I am fortunate enough, I can drive there. It's about 6.5 hours drive by car. And there, I stayed at their hotel. And to check in, I needed to show either my vaccine card or a negative test. And then they recorded it in the system and they did that for all guests. Czech Republic has very low cases at the moment and therefore you didn't have to wear masks inside. But, you know, it's still the biggest casino in Europe. So being there Friday, Saturday, there was just so many people. And to be honest, you know, being at home the whole time during lockdown, you know, only doing, you know, small events or going to work meetings with maybe like 10, 20 people, to be in that room with like 500, 600 people, it was just a little bit overwhelming for me, I would have to say.
Been a culture shock there.
Like, oh my gosh.
We got excited a couple of weeks ago when we had six people playing here. Little tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to the WSOP, and I don't know how I'm going to feel in that big crowd and the big rooms, and just to be in that sort of atmosphere again after a year and a half or over a year and a half. Yes. So tell me about your Globetrotting Poker Ladies Facebook group, and what's the what's it for? How many members do you have? And
So I started the Globetrotting Poker Ladies group in 2016, because when I was at the WSOP in Las Vegas, a lot of the American girls were asking, you know, what's happening in your side of the world, and realized there's really, at that time, 2016, there was really no one advertising apart from the providers themselves, you know, what's happening all over the world. So I started the group just to push out information. You know, when the EPT is having the ladies events, when Switzerland was having their championship, for example, and then other ladies events to advertise. And then I also wanted the group to find travel partners, right? So I don't know about you, Kim, but like for me, you know, if I travel, I would love to have a travel partner. I'm okay traveling alone, but I think it's more fun going with someone. And then also when it comes down to expenses, you know, to share the price of the room, or maybe some taxis. And then also, you know, you have someone to hang out with, because especially in Europe, I would say it's very male dominant here. And I'm not saying, you know, the guys are mean or whatever, but, you know, they're guys, and, you know, sometimes they have different interests than I do. And I like to have, you know, other women to hang out with after poker. So that was the main driver, that group. Then it has evolved a little during Corona. I had a lot of information about closures. I was actually at King's Casino at the table when I found out, this was March 2020, when I found out that they were closing the border. And basically, everyone had to like surrender their chips and like leave. So,
yeah. Yeah. Or else you wouldn't get out of there.
Exactly. So March 2020, I started posting more and more, you know, announcements, you know, this poker room's closing. This poker room has these restrictions, and more guys wanted to join the group. And I said, look, like, you know, I like having guys who support the ladies, but also I think the ladies need a space, you know, without the men in there that we can like talk and discuss. So then that's why I also started the second group, Globetrotting Poker, which is open to everyone, where I highlight certain tournaments around the world, also still some of these closures, reopening of casinos, and just posting about poker in the global light. I mean, it kind of irks me. Okay, I know poker comes from America, but you know, they always forget about us outside of the US. Also, I think they forget the Canadians sometimes. Right. So
yeah. I mean, I'm all about the poker travel. I started a poker travel group on Rec Poker as well, for that specific reason, so people could get to make connections to maybe find a roommate or someone to travel with and stuff like that. So as I think that your group on Facebook is going to be both groups will be super helpful as more things open up again and we all start to get more comfortable with traveling. And here's this place, these are the restrictions here, or here's this place, they're having a festival, here's what you need to know about this one, and that sort of thing. And it's not just all US focused, right?
Yeah.
Like you said. So
yeah.
I think that's,
and you know,
awesome.
The US does amazing, you know, the Women's Poker Association, you mentioned them earlier, they do a lot in the USA, also running many ladies only tournaments or sponsoring Final Table Gifts. I think it's all amazing. I do post when there's ladies events in the USA, but also, you know, everything international, from Australia to Bucharest to China, if they have stuff. So all over the world.
Yeah, that's super helpful. So hopefully, and everybody who's watching this will go and join your Facebook groups. I'm certainly, yeah. I know I'm a member of the ladies one, and I'm going to jump onto the other one if I'm not already a member.
Okay, cool.
You like to collect Hendon Mob flags. So how many do you have? How many different countries do you have?
I think 13.
Oh, nice.
And okay, so again, we're following Hendon Mob rules. I won satellites in countries, but they don't count. So if that counted, right, it would be like 18. So I have to go back. So it's like, for example, South Korea, I only won a satellite. Malta, I also have only won satellites, never cash.
Yeah.
And my China final table couldn't be posted. So, yeah. but I love collecting. So pre-COVID, they used to have, you know, a flag hunter ranking. I don't know if they're incorporating that ranking again. You never got a prize for it, but it was always fun to see, you know, who has the most flags in 1 year.
Yeah.
You have a Canadian one yet?
I don't. No. I still need to play in Canada.
Yeah. Niagara Falls, yeah.
Playground Poker Club. We're going to have to get you over here for the next big festival they have.
Yeah, when's poker? Because I heard Playground is running cash games. So any announcements of when the tournaments will start again?
Not yet. So I think they're still finding their way with the new passports that have come out to get in, and then running the semantics of running some distanced cash games. But I'm sure they'll be up and running before too long. Their tournaments, because they were becoming one of the premier destinations in North America, really, to go and play poker. So,
okay. Yeah. I haven't been there. So it's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
So there or Deerfoot. I hear Deerfoot a lot because they also host the WSOP circuit.
Yes. I've been to that one. It's great. It's very small. So, it's sort of their poker is spread out into all different rooms. But yeah, no, that's a nice place to go as well. It's a beautiful part of Canada as well, and Alberta. So let me just get back to women and being an advocate. Yeah. You and I are both advocates for women in poker. We'd both like to see more women get into the live poker realm. I know there's more women playing online, obviously, than there is playing live. I mean, it's easier to, especially if you have a young family or something, to jump into an online game. And also you're not going to face any real, issues with not being welcomed at the tables, right? That you can in live poker. What do you think more women are coming into the game yet? Do you think there's still more that can be done? I know we've talked about having ladies events and promoting those and all of that, like, do you think there needs to be specific rules at casinos for them to clamp down on any type of abusive verbal behavior at all or inappropriate behavior? Not just warnings, but to actually, you know, you're out of the poker room sort of thing, like a zero tolerance out there. What is it that's keeping women away from live poker?
Yeah. So, I think there are several reasons, and you mentioned a lot of them. So number one, the times, right? So even for the Hertz Diamond Club, a lot of our members are mommies and they have kids. So for our study calls, we have to start, you know, after the kids are put in bed. So we kind of have a late start at 8:30. And I mentioned this to some of the guys. I said, look, you know, your study groups are great, but if you start at 6, then you unintentionally, you know, make it a barrier for the mommies to attend. And just that one sentence like opened up a lot of the guys' eyes. They're like, oh my gosh, we never thought about that. I'm like, yeah. So maybe just poll the members, right? And ask them what time would work best for everyone to include the most people. Also what you said about online poker, most of the Hertz Domin, they play more online because again, with the kids, you know, online, you can jump in a game at 8. If the kids don't go to bed, you can jump in again at 9. You know, maybe it's not the first game of your choice, but there's always a second or third game running. For the Hertz Diamond weekend, we thought about even having a nanny at the property so that women could bring their kids. So that way, you know, they could have a weekend of live poker to enjoy. But after, you know, discussing internally, it was like, no, we'll just get a babysitter or, you know, they'll stay home with your dad and we'll make it a girls only weekend with a poker. But yeah, with women, it's hard, you know, because they're not always, you know, poker only. There's other commitments that they need to juggle. And then, like you said, the third issue of the zero tolerance policy, I think it's also important, you know, even at Kings, I was playing in the 660 WSOP event. And this one guy, you know, was totally nasty to me for like no reason. Luckily, I was at a table. Two guys called him out on it. You know, why are you treating her like that? Like, you know, she didn't do anything. She just sat down and played. But I did have all the chips. I was the table chip leader. So that's what he didn't like. So at least I had supportive guys at the table call out his behavior. For me, it wasn't... it was like borderline calling the TD, right? Because he didn't call me names. He didn't do something uber aggressive. He was just like, you know, being a jerk and, you know, making side comments. So again, maybe I should have called the TD, but it wasn't, you know, something really offensive. And I actually made a comment after he got kicked out. I said, guys, you know what? Everyone says, why don't we have more women in poker? I said, he is a really good reason that keeps women away sometimes, right? You really need to sometimes have a thick skin, be able to shut off all the comments and just play your game. But I would have to say, you know, it is a distraction. So I think rooms that have a zero tolerance policy are also good. Also, you know, bankroll management or opportunities to develop a bankroll, I think, are also important. So, you know, at the Hertz Dahmen Festival, the buy-ins were around 60 euros to 80 euros. So we had much more women playing. When I was at the WSOP, where the WSOP circuit, where the buy-ins were 550 and then the main event was 1700, I think there was only about 10 ladies who played the main event at 1700. So, and I think many of these ladies are talented, but again, you know, you have other responsibilities. You just can't fork out 1700 euros to play the main event. So I also think opportunities for talented women who are crushing to play in these events would also be more helpful.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good point. Okay, so Stu, you got anything you'd like to ask Maureen?
Sure. I think you've answered a couple of them through that anyway. So would you rather play in ladies or like, would you like the mixed men and women? So, 'cause I know a lot of the women I know, they don't like playing just women tournaments. They'd rather have mixed.
Yeah, I like to play both. So again, for the World Series of Poker Circuit that just happened, the ladies event was great because, you know, we sat around, you know, played poker. I was with the girls. We were having fun, etc. Then if I compare it to all the other events I played, most of the time, no one talked to the table because of the language barriers, you know, and everyone was so serious. So I do like to play both. And unfortunately, by nature, if given the choice, I would maybe go for an open event if it had a large guarantee. So that's one thing with the ladies event. They don't really have large guarantees. Like there was a 25K guarantee once for a circuit event, but you're not going to get the million guarantee that you get if we have an open field.
Right. The other question, your favorite places to play?
Yeah. So if I could go back in time, Macau City of Dreams would be my number one. I really like playing at King's and I really like playing at Caen in Southern France. They usually host the WSOP circuit.
Right. And another question. I watched an interview the other night that you had, and you're talking about dealing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you play in little bar leagues, how bad they are at dealing. And it was kind of funny. But we have a league in Toronto where the tournament director actually did a dealing school.
Uh-huh.
So more than half the people that play in the Toronto league actually got certified as dealers. So they did really good. So they have a dealer at every table in the bar league and they switch it up and there's special events for just the dealers and stuff. So you can learn how to deal and shuffle properly.
And play at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, do you deal mixed games or is it just Hold'em?
They do have me deal Omaha from time to time, but I really stink at calculating the pot.
Right.
that's what's holding me back, you know. And I always ask, and that's why, you know, when players at the table, you know, if we're playing Omaha and they kind of get frustrated with the dealer, I'm like, just leave them think, you know, that there's a method. And, you know, I think I have a lot of patience with dealers at the casinos for that reason, too, because I know how hard it is to calculate the pot.
I deal a horse. Like, I would like to deal a horse, and that you really have to constantly think. You can't interact with the players as much, because as soon as your mind goes off, you forget what you're doing. It is tough. People don't realize how tough it is on dealers. You know, they make one mistake and everyone, you know, flies off a handle.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if I'm at your table, I'm the first one, you know, to say, okay, just call the floor, you know, or like when players start screaming and like if the dealer, everyone's screaming at the dealer, I'm like, guys, cut it out. Like, call the floor, like, stop it. So, yeah, but that's pretty cool that for the bar league, they train the dealers.
Yep.
But in Switzerland, they don't. But like they could use it. Yes.
And there was actually an online test to become a tournament director, too. Like, oh, okay. Like 20 questions or something. And it's pretty simple, but, you know, it was fun. Yeah.
Now. Yeah. Thanks, Stu. Yeah, that's good. We got two dealers in the room. I haven't played at any of your favorite places. Okay. And you haven't played at mine, the Irish Open.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to the Irish Open. It is one of the best places to play.
Yeah, and I always see you and Elizabeth and June and Stuart always advertising, you know, come with us, you know, come with the Canadian group. I just couldn't get it to fit into my schedule. So hopefully 2022 I can go, because yeah, it just seems like poker at its best, everyone having fun, and also huge guarantees.
And really not really expensive buy-ins. Like, some of the buy-ins are really low and there's lots of satellites to be had. So, you know, there's something for everyone. That's for sure.
Yeah. I remember, and the ladies event.
They had a ladies event. The one year it was sponsored by Party Poker, and we all got jackets, and we had cupcakes and champagne, and like, and we had a televised final table, and it was very exciting. So yeah, so that was really some more of those sort of things to bring women out would be would like really increase the numbers. So what else? I had something else I wanted to ask you. Now I can't, now it's gone from my head, but we probably kept you up for enough time today. Where can people reach you if they want to reach you? Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. My email address is also on Twitter. So I'm MJ Bloch on Twitter. And then two groups, Globetrotting Poker Ladies, Globetrotting Poker. And then also the Hertz Diamond Club is free to all women. So if you want to stop by a session that we have, you can also find us on Twitter.
And those are at what time of day? Because I know it's a little different from us over here in the Americas. But
right. So actually we start, it's a European centric time. So we start at 8:30 p.m. Berlin time. Which is 2:30, I believe, mm-hmm. your time.
Okay. Yeah.
In Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and you do that once a month?
Oh, we do it weekly.
Oh, weekly. And it's open to everyone.
Women. Yes.
Yeah. It's open to any women that wants to join. So yeah, we would join the Hertzamen Club first and then join that. And the information for that is on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter, we have the information.
Okay. And yes, under the Hertzamen account or under your
Hertzamen Club.
Okay. Yeah. And, all right. I will.
Hertzamen Club on Twitter. And Hertzamen is just a German word for Queen of Hearts.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. So, well, I'll certainly be checking that out. And so hopefully some of our listeners, our other women listeners here, will come up and check that out. We'll get some more of an international flair in there.
Yeah, perfect. We do have some Canadian girls joining us, some Americans, but again, we realize it's a European-centric time, but again, there's not much in Europe for the ladies, so we kind of want to keep that time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've run our time today. We've kept you for about 45 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us. I really hope to see you again soon at one of these festivals. I'm sorry to hear you won't be coming to Las Vegas this year. And I will definitely keep you in the loop if Playground Poker Club opens up and has another WPT event or something like that there. And we can do a rec poker meetup.
Yes, that sounds awesome. Thank you again for having me. As I said, I really miss those rec poker home games. They were awesome. I just can't play for stupid country legal reasons. But yeah, let me know about Canada. And then if not, we meet each other in Ireland for the Irish Open.
That sounds like a great plan. Thank you, Stu, for coming.
I just want to say Elizabeth was trying to get on just to say a quick hi because she just finished work. I don't know.
Well, did she join?
She's trying
to join.
Oh.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop the recording and give her about 2 minutes to jump on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we did it, folks. This is going to be another quick turnaround for our live YouTube audience. As I know that this was a good interview because I've already listened to it. Kim, why don't we just talk a little bit? I'm so pleased that you've become such a leading member of the wrecking crew here, and that you're not only contributing your insight in our hand histories and coming on the podcast and that kind of thing, but that you've had this poker empowerment group that's near and dear to your own heart. We've got a new Wrecking Crew member is joining. Actually, I'll wait until that's all official, but we've got another Wrecking Crew member joining soon that I think is also going to be a great voice in that mandate. And I just want to say thanks for being a leadership voice with our group and on this important cause. It's great to have you here. I hope that you feel like you've touched some people as a consequence of your efforts.
No, I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Jim.
John, why don't we start with some home game results, and then we can start giving away some free prizes afterwards. What do you think?
I think that sounds like an excellent idea. So, this is a little awkward. The first game is the Mixed Game Championship Series, and Poker Geek MN got his first mixed game victory for the year.
Congratulations, John.
Gopher Boy TJM Taylor still maintains over a 30-point lead Player of the Year points there.
Wow.
BD Underer Private got his or her first nightly victory for the year. Stewie 13 Stuart Carriage got his sixth nightly victory for the year.
Nice.
Then Stuart Carriage, Stewie 13 got his seventh nightly victory for the year. Dan D. Reds G, Daniel A, got his fifth nightly victory for the year. Isma got his or her fourth nightly victory for the year.
That one doesn't trip you up at all anymore. You're so smooth with Isma. I remember back in the day when that was the first tongue twister. So Spike, I know you're out there. We all appreciate your continued efforts. And just look at the effect you've had on John. He's like a tongue twister expert now. It's impossible to trip him up.
Well, no, new names still have a possibility of doing it, or if I just revert to old patterns or anything like that. But then Stewie 13 Stuart Carriage got his second daily mixed victory for the year. So that's three victories in 1 week.
Wow.
Next, we have Max Chaos 2112 Greg Klim got his third international victory for the year.
Congrats, Greg.
And Evil Roy CA, David Westerveld, got his 11th or 4th international victory for the year.
Cannot be stopped.
And then East Coast Bidder Ben Enslow won the LPP event. So he can contact info@rec.poker for his free month at Learn Pro Poker.
That's right. I know, Ben, you're no stranger to it. Send that email. You're going to love what's going on at Learn Pro Poker. And if Phil or Luke or any of our other recent winners are in the YouTube chat right now, I just want you to know, check your email, buds, because I actually got off my butt and sent out some prize notifications. So everyone that's been waiting for their prizes to be emailed out to them, if you haven't, check your spam. If you haven't gotten one, send me an email personally, jim@rec.poker, and we'll make sure that you're all sorted out, because you all have been extremely patient with me over the last little while, and I really do appreciate it. So Stewie, that's 3 in 1 week for Stu. I mean, the guy,
yes, it is.
The guy just doesn't rest. He just, he's just constantly getting better at this game of poker. And Greg Clem winning the international series. I'm pretty sure he and I had just hung up a Zoom call where we'd been talking about getting the most out of Poker Tracker, because he just switched over from Holder Manager to Poker Tracker. So he was in my Poker Tracker review group on the second Saturday of every month. And I just, you know, I love it when we recognize these names of the winners as folks that have just gotten more involved in rec poker. It's fantastic to see this.
Well, another thing is this brings Stewie's, it's his 37th all-time victory.
Wow.
So now he is in the conversation for who will be the second person to win the 50-win Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's true. It's true. That's and it's pretty rare company. I know Kim is right on, she's edging up there. I think she's at like 44 Absolutely. Or 45 or something like that. We've got a couple other folks that are nipping at her heels. So I'm excited.
Better not let them catch me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Kim, you definitely have to get there before Stu, or else you'll never hear the end of it. Isn't that right? Poker friends, these two travel all over, unleashing their poker expertise on the world, along with Elizabeth Bennett Martin and some other fun folks that I know are involved with rec poker to one degree or another. So no surprise, those poker friends forever are climbing the ranks. I just see here in our YouTube chat, we've got Phil saying that he wore his brand new rec poker t-shirt to a live event recently. And I got some comments about it, which is great. And I also see my mom, Martha, is in here. And she says, I'm so glad that Philip is back on the show. Oh, my God. It's like twisting the knife. I don't know. I've explained to her the dynamic at play. And That's just okay. I understand how it's going here. But thank you, Martha. Thank you, Phil. And thank you to everyone else in the YouTube chat. It's great to see this back and forth. A lot of love in the YouTube chat right now, but not a lot of people typing the words food bank. So I will say, why don't we talk a little bit about what's coming up at Rec Poker and give some folks a little more time to. Oh, God. It's getting out of hand in the YouTube chat here, folks. I will encourage folks, come check it out every Monday night, 7:30 Eastern, or as John Somsky likes to say, 6:30 Central Time, the only time zone that matters. It's free here on YouTube, and you can win a prize just for showing up. And you can see the hijinks that people get up to in the YouTube chat, because it is pretty funny. Some cool stuff that's coming up. We've got some road trips planned. I want to confirm some details before I share some dates about that. But get your calendars out, folks, because we're going to be doing some rec poker events around the country between now and the holidays, which I'm really excited about. We had such a fantastic time at Running Aces. It was great to see so many people bedecked in rec poker gear and patches and having a great time and getting more, getting more faces to the names. I can't wait to do that again. I have so much fun on these rec poker road trips, and it sounds like a lot of you do as well. So I hope you get a chance to connect with some of our listeners again in person. Coming up next week, Kim, on August 22nd, which is the fourth Tuesday of the month, Kim always runs on the fourth Tuesday of the month a hand history review that is open to premium members. It's one of the perks of being a premium member here at Rec Poker. But this month, we're going to open it up to all community members. So you can join for free if you head on over to rec.poker and sign up for a free account there. All it takes is an email address and a smile. And then you can join Kim Kilroy and her group on August 22nd at 7:30 Eastern. Kim, you're going to be talking about the correct way to record details for a hand history. Is that about right?
Yes. Yeah. So one of the best ways to learn is to go over your own hand histories or go over other people's hand histories with friends or peers or a coach. And most people don't know the correct way to verbally give a hand history or give a written hand history. So we're going to go over both ways to do it. And also I'm going to go over some like hacks that can make it easier when you're at the tables. Or it's easy enough to tag a hand if you have Poker Tracker online. So I think everybody knows how to do that. But I'm talking more about in the live realm Well, when you want to talk about a hand with a friend, just verbally after the fact, and a hand you played the day before or the day of, and how to go about recording that hand so that you remember it, and how to present it both verbally or in a written form as well.
And Kim, I think people don't appreciate how valuable this is, because recording hand histories are kind of like the language with which we share with our poker friends, whether they're coaches or clients or friends or peers. What we need is a way to make sure that we're all using the same words, talk about things, that it's a clear, full contextualized set of information. Kim, we'll save the real good stuff for next Tuesday, but what are some of the kind of annoyances? What are some of the things that people tend to do wrong? Some of the big things that people tend to do wrong when they're casually expressing their hand histories to you?
Well, they'll say something like, I raised 2000 and I got two callers and the flop came ace seven something. And then I made a bet and one guy called and another guy raised and I didn't know what to do. Okay, well, what did you have? What position were you in? What were the lines? So we'll go through all of that stuff.
Nice. Joe, did you have something there?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of chime in to say that I wish that I would have had a Kim Kilroy course really kind of dictating how to present a hand, because even when I worked with my own coaches, I would have the same stumbling around things, and it would make me a little reticent to actually bring a hand history to the forefront, because I want to make those stupid mistakes and feel silly not having remembered that or saying that. So if you haven't had any practice doing this, absolutely sign up for Kim's course so that you can go in confidently and know, I'm going to present this and I'll get the question I want answered, rather than at the very end someone says, oh, well, you should have just folded that pre. I mean, you never want that. So absolutely go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you'll just be able to click on it as a community member, click on the link in the calendar the night of. It'll be at 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time, 4:30 Pacific Time.
That's
and,
right.
And everyone's welcome to join in.
Yeah, so do yourself a favor, folks, and come check that out. It is an underrated skill, and I think a lot of our listeners, when people join Rec Poker, a lot of people, when they talk to me for the first time, they say, I love poker, but my friends don't really love poker. It's hard for me to find people to talk to about poker. And so it's not, it's not something you're going to have a lot of experience in until you get used to sharing hands and talking to people about your hands. And that just is a lot easier and more effective if you know what to record, what the relevant facts are. And I think it's also good at just training your brain to be paying attention to what are the factors I should be paying attention to as I'm experiencing a hand, because that'll probably not only make you a better note taker, but also make you a better poker player. So that's on August 22nd, and I want people to sign up for that for free, like we say. If you're tuning in live this week, we're going to be having our OPA on Tuesday night, like we always do. That's our online play and hang, which where premium members who are playing in the home game can come hang out over Zoom. And we just have a fun social time. We're not about, that's less about learning and more about the social activities. Wednesday, of course, it's the third Wednesday of the month. So we've got the book study with Rob. And every Wednesday, you can join Taylor on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv/recpoker, he'll be playing in the home game and streaming his cards up action there, so you can get inside his head. On Thursday the 17th, our very own Joe Coolis is going to be hosting his poker psyops session. Joe, why don't you just share a little bit with our audience tonight about how that's been going for you and what you've got lined up for the next little while?
Well, I think what I'd like to go over is Phil Galifon just put forth a little 40-page booklet that talked about mindset things. And I think that I may go over that, give some, a little bit of gentle feedback if it's appropriate, gives what I think about his pamphlet in terms of what he discusses in that, because I think it's something that a lot of people might sign up for and may not is feels seems like a great guy, but he's a poker player. And does he really have is what he's saying really reasonable in terms of what psychological theory would suggest? So that's my hope. They've been going well. I really strongly encourage people to show up if they have the opportunity. We do record them, but most of the time when you're watching it, you don't have the opportunity to ask questions. And every single session will have a Q&A about what we're talking about, as well as whatever topics that people have about their poker game. So it's everybody here is a resource. I hope people can use me in terms of a resource for the knowledge that I can bring show up. And let's have some fun talking about psychology.
That's right, man. And, Joe says it. We are here. The whole Wrecking Crew is here to be a resource to recreational poker players. You know, we all have different levels of experience. We all have different life experiences. We all have different things in the rest of our lives that we bring to the table here. Joe's a clinical neuropsychologist. You've got access to a great brain over here with a lot of interesting experiences and training. So it's just one of the folks here on the Wrecking Crew that I think you'll benefit from getting to know a little better. So I will encourage folks, head on over to rec.poker/crew, and you can learn a little bit about John and Kim and Joe and me and the rest of us, and see if there's someone that, is interesting to you. Maybe you can strike up a conversation in our group and start a new friendship. It sounds trite, but I've really become friends with a lot of these people. We spend a lot of time planning these events and talking strategy at various times throughout the week. And it's been great. I feel like it's been one of the nicest parts about joining Rec Poker is these friendships and connections that I've made with this group here, Wrecking Crew members and premium members as well. So I'd say, come on, give us a try. maybe you can do the same. So I think my mom and Phil are planning some sort of matrimonial experience here in the chat. Although I'm not actually sure Martha knows who Phil is at this point. So I want to just shut this down like immediately before we get too far here. Joseph Koulas, you have the nerdy dice ready. I think we've only got one person who wants to win a prize tonight. Can that be true? Let me see. It looks like it. I mean, we're not just going to give it to Phil, are we? Are we just going to give the prize to Phil? That doesn't seem right. Please, no, someone.
It seems like it should be one of those where we should roll a 20-sided dice, and until Joe rolls a one, he donates thousands upon thousands of dollars to some cause.
Yep.
No, and I'm taking you off the hook. You are not allowed to do that. That was just a joke, not a. Yeah.
That's right. Well, there we go.
All right,
we got two. So at least it's an actual competition. I think that I'm fine. I'm fine with that. So we've got Phil and Charles. So Joe, what do you want to do? You're going to share the screen with your nerdy die, and you're going to roll. What would you like to roll, and how are you going to allocate the pips?
Well, we could just roll a six-sided, and so we got two. It's Charles and Phil. So
Phil is kind of odd. So
odd numbers, and Charles can have the even numbers. So okay, just roll a six-sided. But unless somebody do we want a 20-sided? Just because it's the nerdiest of the dice.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep, coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Let me get the 20 sided up. Yeah. All right. It's saying I can't share my screen, though.
Oh, no. Let me get on that here. Yep. Now you should be able to. Thank you.
Sure. Starting share screen will stop other participants' computer sound share.
Ah, there you go. Go for it. So there's a non-trivial chance I will forget to share the audio for the outro again when we do this. That's on all of you now to remind me, or else like that's definitely what's going to happen. Let's see. Let's see if it works.
Can you see the screen?
I'm seeing it.
All right, here we go. 20-sided on its way. And it is even.
Even. Charles Allen. Charles Allen, you are the winner, sir. Congratulations. I'm just glad that we don't have to ship anything over to Phil. God bless his cotton socks. Charles, send that email to info@rec.poker. And you will get an email back with your exciting prize. And let me see if I'm sharing the audio again. Thank you, John. Oh, my God, we might actually hit the audio cues. This has been a very complicated effort, folks, but I'm very excited. Okay, so while we're wrapping things up here, let's get to the bottom of this. So Martha is here in the YouTube chat. She's been talking about how much she likes Phil, but I think she might think that either Joe or John are Phil, because I think she can see Phil on the screen right now. So, Martha, can you just like type into the chat? Does Phil have a headset on when you're looking at him? I see it could be John or Joe, but only one of them has a headset on. So let's see if Martha has something that she can straighten this out with. I kind of enjoy the bit about her liking Phil more than me, but by the same token, it would like be great if she met someone other than Phil. Like that would honestly just be fantastic. So I'm kind of hoping for that.
Particularly since the chat is suggesting that Phil would become your dad, which would be awkward.
There's some tangential mention of what might be involved in that. Yes, that's right. So just in case people, I think it's you, Joe. I think she thinks you're Phil. You are a handsome guy.
You know, I can understand why your mom would like me, but
yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Phil says Martha has my house under surveillance. Yeah. Well, all right. I think we've spent a long time today talking about things that have nothing to do with poker or rec poker. Thank you. Oh my God. She's going off the rails. Martha's going off the rails in the chat, folks. This is why you got to come show up here, for the YouTube, because if you knew me in real life, you'd have a lot of ammunition to make fun of me for the next little while based on what's going on here. Okay. All right. Save me, folks. What else should we mention before we roll on out of here and let our audience get back to their lives? I will tell you, if you're listening live, tonight is the Tournament of Champions. It's on the second Monday of every month. So if you've won a Rec Poker home game in the month of July, congratulations. Your invitation to the Tournament of Champions should be open to you. So come and have some fun and we'll win this elusive silver pin that is really hard to get. So that's going on tonight. Let me see. I guess I just want to thank John Somsky, Kim Kilroy, Joe Coolis, and everyone in the chat, except for Martha and Phil, who I think we might have to like send a bottle of wine to or something. But for the rest of you, thanks so much for joining us. And I hope you tune in again next week. We'll have a guest like normal. I can't wait to share their story with you. All right. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Thanks for your support.